Jason Kanz. Good morning.
Good morning.
Best 5 minutes of the day. And, yes, Friday has arrived. So how soon do you deem it summer in terms of maybe going with the four-day work week? Or it sounds like maybe you're so busy you're not going to be able to do that as much?
Well, it's interesting. I was looking at my vacation schedule for the summer, and I have very few Fridays off this summer, and compared to what I would normally do. And I don't know if it's because I took more days in the spring or what the deal is, but it looks like I have less time off this summer than what I normally do. So
you're not a fan of that. You like those Fridays.
I'm not. Though. I do like my Fridays off. Yeah, that's definitely a gift when it happens. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we have, I've been to three funerals recently and the third yesterday. And these are for people, all guys, and they've been anywhere from 85 to 71 to 75 years old. And so it kind of has called to mind Stephen Covey, great advice in Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, the idea of live with a deathbed perspective. End-of-life perspective, and you really get that opportunity when you're at somebody else's celebration of their life. Their earthly dash is done, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's that old idea of memento mori, right? Keep your death ever before your face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and to live with purpose in light of that, I think that's a good idea.
Right, right.
Yep.
And so...
Yeah. I think with my stepdad, you know, I definitely that has come up a lot, just kind of thinking about mortality and...
Mm-hmm.
I think all of those things are good to reflect on, honestly.
Yeah, because you even said yesterday you basically thinking he may pass within the week.
Yeah, I think so. He was in Milwaukee. They sent him to Milwaukee 2 days ago. He's back in Sheboygan, I think, now. And I don't think they still entirely know what's going on. And so, yeah so it's coming.
But, yeah, it is in terms of living with that. And then it does help because then even as you look at, you just go, you know what, that's just not that important. I mean, there's so many things that you get that perspective we can get so wrapped up in. And I'm just going to say politics is one of those things where it seems like people really get wrapped up. I think of David Brooks, and he's a writer. He's a broadcast commentator, an author, and... This guy has been involved in politics pretty deeply for a lot of years, and you've heard me say this before, that Brooks had said, you know, politics is no higher than fifth in importance, you know, and so, and yet we can get so wrapped up and have these Facebook fights and bust a blood vessel about, you know, how right we are, and so...
Yeah, I don't know what you're saying. I've never gotten mixed up with politics. I don't even know what you're talking about right now. For those who don't know me, that's sarcastic.
All right,
so,
okay.
Yes, uh-huh.
All right. Well, and it was interesting because I want to bring this up. Like, the question is, as we've gotten through Notes from the Upper Room, Lessons in Loving Like Jesus, all of the devotions, it took us a while because we were off and on with it. And I kind of miss it because I've really enjoyed it here recently, reading a verse, your devotional thought.
Yeah.
And I'm open to revisiting it again. But yesterday I heard James Lankford, senator from Oklahoma, he's got a new book called Turnaround. And he was on, and I want to pull a clip from it from Monday of him talking about how we act, you know, politically. And he says, even for people who are running for office in terms of following some of these biblical admonitions, if you will. And and then he actually recommends some, like he named three different chapters of scripture. And I thought, well, maybe those are ones for us to dive into. But so we do need a closing thought or a feeling, so heading into the weekend here. So I guess, do you have your Notes from the Upper Room devotion handy or no?
I do.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think let's go back to, because I liked it so much, let's go back to John 13:1.
Okay.
You know what? If you like a book or an audio book so much, you go back. So that verse, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. What's your Devo?
So I wrote, Jesus was having his last meal before going to the cross. He knew it. He was about to face an unjust trial, a cruel scourging, and a very public crucifixion at the hands of the Romans and the Jews. He could have been anywhere, but he chose to be with his friends. Every time I read John 13, I'm captured by the short phrase, he loved them to the end. It brings to mind one of my favorite Hebrew words, hesed. Hesed has to do with the steadfast love of God. What does it mean to say that God's love is steadfast? It means it is unswerving, unfailing, immovable, persistent, and relentless. It never stops, not ever. The verse does not say he loved them until they sinned or he loved them until he got tired of them. Even in the face of death, Jesus kept on loving them with persistence and perseverance. Jesus' love wasn't only for his disciples. He would gladly have had his last supper with you and with me too. Even in the midst of our self-centeredness and our screw-ups, he doesn't go away. He will keep on loving us in spite of ourselves, but not because we are deserving, but because love is who he is.
Mm-hmm. What are these screw-ups you speak of? I know nothing. There's my
right.
sarcasm, right?
So. Exactly, yep.
All right,
yeah.
That's really good stuff. Hasad, we've loved that word. Michael
yep.
Card wrote a whole book on it. Give us the closing prayer here.
Yeah, it says, Jesus, my love for you is fickle. It changes with the breeze. I'm so grateful that your love for me is not dependent upon my conviction, but upon your own, which says that I am your beloved. You willingly gave your son so that I can live in your love for all eternity.
All
Amen.
Right. Hey, let's all remember all weekend long, God is loving us with a loving kindness. Thank you, friend.
Yeah, talk to you later.
Thanks. Birthdays, anniversaries, our promise of the day, and for that, we begin on the listener line, where we find this message this morning. Let's listen.
Happy birthday, Dean. This is from Bob and Brenda. We just want to reach out.
We can explain. Maybe I need to take it from the top. Yeah, Dean Valentine. Dean Valentine from Rice Lake. So let's take it from the top with Bob right here.
Happy birthday, Dean. This is from Bob and Brenda. We just want to reach out and wish you an amazing 60th birthday, brother. You've been a treasured friend to us for many decades. What we love most about you, Dean, is your heart for Jesus and for his people. We will treasure the many picture boards you've put together for Brenda and I, all our kids, and so many friends for all of our special events. And for always showing up in a very special way at small group Bible study, making Christmas time so very joy-filled. Our prayer is that God would continue to bless you, Dean, with good health, and that you would continue to share his goodness with those you encounter daily. Hold on and enjoy your special day, Dean, and hold on to this promise from Proverbs 3.
Oh, there it was, actually, and I was somehow, we got the two computer screens messed up. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. So thank you, Bob, for that wonderful message, and it definitely hits right there. And we've had some of these wonderful storyboards Bob's talking about from Dean for Steve Snyder and his passing, and Mabel Louise Stewart as well. So thank you, Dean. You're a wonderful, tender-hearted brother in the Lord. And we do celebrate you on your 60th birthday today. Well, Caleb, we're both sports fans, and especially it seems like in college sports, football, basketball, they have rankings, you know, and it shifts a lot. I think one that's interesting to me, it does not have anything to do with that, but it's who is the world's oldest person. That changes. I think we had a 116-year-old woman, I think she had been a nun, who passed away this week at, yeah, again, 116. And that leaves Ethel Caterham, a 115-year-old British woman, as the world's oldest living person.
Okay, wow.
Yeah. Ina Canabaro Lucas, a Brazilian nun, had passed at the age of 116 on April 30th. And so, Caterham, born August 21st, 1909. She is also the oldest known Briton ever to live, and looking forward to her birthday in August.
Well, there you go. Yeah, and hopefully she makes it to 116 uh-huh. and beyond.
There we go.
Our Friday morning tradition is to get you caught up on everything you might have missed in the past week in news, sports, politics, and pop culture. We bring it to you in condensed form because we know you're busy folk and we respect your time. We call it Headlines, and here we go.
Research shows that strenuous four-second workouts throughout the day are good for you.
So when the DoorDash guy shows up with your breakfast donuts, run to the door. When he shows up with your lunch tacos, run to the door.
Absolutely.
The number of Starbucks locations in the U.S. has just surpassed 17,000.
It's comforting to know that you're never more than 150 feet from a Frappuccino.
Indeed.
Yes, Starbucks now has over 17,000 locations in the United States.
GPS systems now include directions like turn left at the Starbucks, then right at the other Starbucks. Scientists figured out that the optimal flow of ketchup is roughly 0.028 miles per hour.
Which is still faster than the security line at the airport.
Isn't that the truth?
According to a study, if you're pulling your luggage on wheels and the wheels begin to wobble, what you need to do to restabilize them is to start moving faster.
Because in no way will that make you or your luggage appear extra suspicious to airport security.
Nothing happening here.
A diver in England bought a World War I shipwreck for $400 on Facebook Marketplace.
The ad read, slightly used, some water damage.
Still a deal.
Finally, the median pay for top U.S. CEOs has risen to an all-time high of $16.8 million.
They'd like to thank all the employees who sacrificed their work-life balance to make this achievement possible.
Wow.
Those are your headlines, and now you're all caught up. The WIB Wake Up Show, WWIB. Great to have you with us on a Friday morning, 16 past 8, 47 degrees. Empty Bowls is coming up very soon. In fact, 2 weeks from yesterday, and we're blessed to be joined by Pedro Gallagher, new executive director at Feed My People. We're actually meeting for the first time here today, and great to meet you. Great to have you here at WWIB.
Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
And again, when you look at Feed My People, you've been involved with Feed My People previously and now actually part of the organization, but I know you were in Dunn County for a long time.
Yes, I was the executive director with Stepping Stones of Dunn County, which was actually one of the partners of Feed My People. So I've been in the food pantry business and now, you know, working with the food bank. Very similar mission, different scope.
When you look at the scope of what Feed My People does, a lot of times we kind of compare it to the WWIB listening area. I mean, a 14-county area that you serve. The need is very, very significant. And you talk about the scope and the breadth of what you do. What is it about Feed My People that you say, this really kind of makes my heart beat with what I love to be doing with my life?
Oh, absolutely. The mission just resonates with me. You can't get more basic than providing food to people who need food, you know. And when they come to our partner agencies, our food pantries throughout the 14 counties, and they say, I need food, and we enable and get food to those pantries so that they can respond and provide it to their neighbors, it fills me up to just think about it.
And so many initiatives that Feed My People is working on as well, too. I know a lot of focus in recent years has been making sure that there's fresh and healthy food. So again, proteins like meats, but getting fresh fruits and vegetables, which again, one of the things that really opened my eyes early on years and years ago was when we visited a local food pantry and the director there, she said, healthy food is expensive food. Some of the most difficult things, if you are in a tough situation to acquire food-wise, are healthy options. And I know along with that, Feed My People has really, really been working to make sure that there are food pantry options in our schools as well.
Yes, so we have direct programs that partner with schools to give food options to the children, but also to their families.
Yeah.
And you hit the nail on the head as far as trying to make sure that we get the most nutrition food out for the households that we serve. There's actually a strength in the region as far as the agriculture here.
Yeah.
But there hasn't been that direct line between the production and the need. And that's a real initiative and a real focal point for us moving forward.
Now, we also want to focus on Empty Bowls. This is the 25th anniversary of Empty Bowls. This is the largest fundraiser of the year for Feed My People Food Bank. It's coming up 11 to 7 on Thursday, May 15th. Tell us a little bit about that. What's going on this year?
Empty Bowls has been a mainstay of the community and Feed My People, like you said, 25 years now. And what it's turned into now that we host it on site is every bit as much a celebration of the mission, but also an open house.
Yeah.
We want the broader community to come in, see the scope and scale of our facility, the amount of food that goes through there, and also purchase a bowl, have a meal from one of the 6 food trucks that's on site, listen to the live music. It really is a celebration of the community because we can't do it without that community.
Again, when you're serving Western and Central Wisconsin, this isn't just an Eau Claire County thing, a Chippewa County thing. This is all throughout, again, those within range of our voices right now. Feed My People very likely serves probably multiple local food partners, local food pantries in your area. And so, again, the public's encouraged to come out Thursday, May 15th, 11 to 7. It's at Feed My People Food Bank, which is at 2610 Alpine Road in Eau Claire. And again, fmpfoodbank.org. Your website has all this information available as well.
Yes, and the tickets for the bowls and food for the meal are available on our website right now. Or folks can just show up the day of. We'd love to see them.
And again, empty bowls. You brought one in. It's right in front of me right now. And again, these are beautiful, locally handcrafted pottery, too, from local artisans. I think sometimes students as well. And again, they get to take home one of these wonderful bowls as not only a memento, but a reminder as well, too, of the work that continues to be done, the need that is out there.
Yes, and oftentimes the bowls that are in the highest demand are the ones that are made by students.
Yes.
You know, they have those imperfections in the character and people just grab them. We also have some very high-end bowls on site from local craftspeople. And we just celebrate the theme of the event in those empty bowls being there, because it really does signify what the mission's about. An empty bowl is a need for food, right? And that's what we're here to fill.
And again, 11 to 7 on May 15th and at Feed My People's location at Alpine Road. So again, that format is designed. So again, if people are coming on their lunch hour or after work, depending on when they get off work, maybe they want to come for lunch and for dinner with six different food truck options there as well, too. But again, just really hoping that this is the biggest ever as you celebrate 25 years of Empty Bowls, the biggest fundraiser of the year for Feed My People. And I know in this bowl that you brought, there's a man named Mark. There's a quote from him, one of the actual beneficiaries of a local partner agency with Feed My People. And he said this simply, "I have diabetes, so having vegetables and fruits saves my life." I don't think you can add anything to that.
No, it doesn't.
It's life-saving work.
It doesn't get more just fundamentally true and impactful than that. And that really is what our work is about, supporting our pantry agencies. And doing the direct service ourselves in the community. It's about lightening people's loads and keeping them healthy so that they can live fulfilled lives.
And again, we mentioned so many times as we partner with Feed My People, a single dollar given provides two meals. Again, your food rescue programs, the way you're able to provide these foods to local food pantries, pennies on the dollar. I mean, it's an incredible work that you do to make sure food not only doesn't go to waste, but that it is then distributed to those who need it.
Absolutely. We put a lot of effort into casting as broad a net as we can to bring in as much food in as many ways as possible, because the need is great. We actually provided through our direct programs and our partner agencies food to 75,000 people last year.
Wow. Well, again, Pedro Gallagher, Executive Director at Feed My People Food Bank. Great to meet you for the first time. I'm sure we will see you again before too long as well, too, because we love being able to partner whenever we can with Feed My People and appreciate all the incredible work that you're doing. And again, Empty Bowls, 25th anniversary edition of Empty Bowls, Thursday, May 15th at Feed My People's location at Alpine Road in Eau Claire from 11 to 7. Great to meet you, and thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
We'll get back to the music here with Taya, Come Into the Light. Again, if you want more information, FMP Food Bank, FMP for Feed My People, fmpfoodbank.org.
Time for another Best of the Week. And as I sit here again, Caleb, I keep thinking of the fact of an audio trail mix, Sweet and Salty, the Best of the Week. Here you go.
Headline, Memphis comedian completes 40-hour stand-up set in world record attempt. That's crazy.
My first reaction is, I felt like I've been to open mics that were longer than 40 hours, you know?
Hi, my name is Belinda, and I'm calling this evening to extend my sincere, heartfelt gratitude for being a part of the Single Moms group today. From the bottom of our hearts, we thank everybody that was involved from receiving the phone call that we were even picked, to Kevin the balloon guy, to the food truck, to the movie theater, to the church, to the gentleman who brought the bouncy houses. I'd also like to thank all of the staff members who truly are a gift from God, who were placed into our lives today as complete strangers. Today, as a single mom, I was seen, I was heard, and I was thanked for just being a single mom. And today, I didn't feel alone. I'd like to thank everybody that contributed to our gift basket, Boomer Tire Center. And I'd also like to thank the community for your generous donations for car repairs. Today was truly a blessing to myself and my children. And I'd like to say thank you. I don't know how to say thank you enough for everything today. It was a beautiful, blessed day for us. And I'd like to say thank you to the gentleman who hugged me while we cried. Again, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We will forever be thankful for all of your generous time, money, everything that you gave us today.
How about a four-second workout?
Well, I remember I used to do those P90X workouts, and Tony Horton, I distinctly remember him saying, you can do anything for 30 seconds. Well, this is only four. So
there you go.
How about some presidential trivia? Bill Clinton was the first president to do this. To do what? Good morning, WWIB. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Amy from Stanley.
All right. What do you think? I mean, Stanley, these Chris Cruzy tickets would be perfect for you.
Right?
Go ahead.
Was he the first president to possibly shop online?
First U.S. president to Christmas shop online?
You're a winner. Yes, you got it. You're going to a concert in your home city of Stanley at the historic Stanley Theater Saturday night.
Didn't John Mark Comer write a book about slowing down?
Yes.
And I have not slowed down enough to read that book yet, so...
The best of the week in less than 3 minutes.
Thanks for putting that together, Halvo. It's always a lot of fun to hear it again.